Hey y'all, it's Stacia B and I am back. I guess you could say this is my first podcast. I am sorry for the delay. I actually had someone who was supposed to be doing my first one with me and yeah, it didn't work out. I'm also a stoner, so I'm smoking right now. Probably be smoking quite a bit while I'm talking to you all. Hope it doesn't bother anyone. But my podcast today will be on religion and surviving foster care. Growing up in a religious home. Being raised without my parents, I have a few bullet points on my notebook to cover today. I hope you all enjoyed. So the first one is being raised without birth parents. What it's like being raised without birth parents. For me, it was hard. You know, I grew up never feeling accepted. I can't say that I was an outcast or, you know, was a person that was always pushed to the side. I was well liked, but I've always had this feeling, and to this day, of being by myself, even in a room full of people. Also, I just didn't like to see, like, cute couples. Well, I can't even say didn't like to see. It wasn't, like, out of hate. It was out of, it put me in my feelings. Seeing family pictures and people with their dads and shit. I didn't get to participate in daddy-daughter dance and shit. You know, stuff like that. So, yeah, it was hard. Second bullet point says birth parents. So I'm gonna talk a little about mine. My mom was sick when we ended up having to live with family members. My dad was just out of the picture, but that's how it went with them too. She wasn't on drugs or anything. She was sick, and it went downhill from there. Honestly, I can't even really say word for word what happened because I have a lot of dark spots in my memory. Next bullet point is the struggle of being raised in a Christian home. Struggles of being raised in a Christian home is, I would say, them, of course, forcing their beliefs on you and growing up to realize a lot of it was bullshit. That's how I take it. It's a lot of things that happen in Christian homes and stuff, you know, that people don't talk about. Things that are said behind closed doors. One thing I will say is never how people are in church is way different at home. You know, a lot of things that Christians talk about other people for, it happens in Christian's home, in Christian homes, really. A lot of things that people don't talk about or bring up. I'm gonna just, you know, say that. I guess people assume because it's a Christian home or whatever, you know, people don't have struggles, bad things don't happen, violations don't occur, but it does. You know, one time I felt violated in a Christian home is I got chastised because my auntie, you know, she felt like I took something from her. And she basically took my phone, and in my phone were messages of me and my boyfriend, you know, me sending him panty and bra pics. I call them nudes. It's not really y'all business, but I don't like to take nudes. I like to take them with something on at least. Anyways, however, she had took my phone and I guess was going through it, seeing the pics, and decided to send them to my uncle, the one she was married with. She was married to my dad's brother. He allowed all this shit. Before y'all hear the rest. She sent it to him and said basically she was going to send it to my grandma and all this other stuff. I don't know how that went, but I just know she did it. I felt violated. I was already violated as a child living with my mom by older cousins. So, you know, to have something like that happen in my case, I feel like anybody case who has been violated, it will bring a whole new level of uncomfortableness inside of the house you are staying in. Like, are they have problems being around groups of men? It don't even got to be a group. You can just be, you know, being alone with the man that I'm just now meeting has never been comfortable, you know, after that. Yeah, I was told I was gonna grow up to be nothing but a stripper. My aunt also told me, my aunt Lakina Bell, evangelist, apostle, whatever she called herself, Lakina Bell, she told me that I was gonna grow up to be a stripper. I watched her tell people that her cousin made up a story of being molested by her own father and switched the story around. I saw her do it to my cousin, you know, one of my uncle's other nieces, going around and lie. I've seen her degrade people for being, talk about people for being suicidal. And, you know, she's been there at one point. I've seen her talk about my sister for being suicidal and then go raise awareness, you know, on Facebook. The funds and things they have on Facebook now where you can raise money for things of that nature. I've seen a lot. I've heard multiple people's business, you know, in a church that I wasn't supposed to know. Friends of hers, friends of mine. I don't watch people get talked about as soon as they walk. 2 minutes before they walked into our door, as soon as they walked out. You know, like, it literally seems to me that every spiritual daughter that my auntie felt like was sent to her, she manipulated, degraded, and dogged in the worst way. And of course, I'm already knowing that, you know, putting my story out there, starting my podcast, will get from her side angry. But, you know, I can't make this stuff up. I have no reason to lie. I'm literally in a new page of my life where it's all about honesty, getting my story out there and not feeling scared to tell people because I think they won't believe me. Because a lot of people, of course, I know people are going to try to say, well, why didn't you say stuff years ago? Well, you wouldn't know until you were in a situation where everybody heard a story about you and weren't, you know, they didn't really get your side, so they look at you a certain way. And it's been like that with me for years. People always looked at me a certain way, turned their nose up, called me fast or a liar, you know, manipulative, stuff like that. And I'm not the type of person. Next bullet point is Christian beliefs. What do I disagree and agree on? I will say growing up in a Christian home, in a Christian church and stuff, they picked and chose a lot when it came to the Bible and what sins they wanted to relay, you know, because I've seen people in the church call out other people's sins, you know, tell people what they need to confess, put people on blast. But I went back in the Bible and read that it's a sin to talk about other people's sins. Or I've seen churches, and a lot of churches, most Christian people call a lot of things witchcraft, like every other religion is witchcraft. But if anybody was to really sit and do research, they would notice that a lot of these religions have a lot in common when it comes to God. They just show it a different way and call it different things. They used to say a lot of stupid shit, like the church I was going to, Rivers of Life, it's on the east side. Apostle Dixon is the apostle. I can't really recall her government, but yeah. Like, it was a lady in our church who supposedly died and went to heaven. And she was able to see people that she knew or whatever. But, you know, a while before that, our Sunday school teacher had basically taught us that when you die and go to heaven, you don't remember anyone. You don't remember anything. It's a new start. So my thing has always been, like, how would these people know this? And two, how are y'all telling us this but keep coming with these stories about people visiting heaven and God? Or why is it that every Christian person feel like, every person in the world really feels like, you know, their loved one died and went to hell. I mean, heaven. Sorry about that. Heaven. And, you know, they always say that these people went to heaven and, oh, I had a dream, or, oh, somebody died and went to heaven and saw my son. I feel like it's a lie. Two, I can't say I have yet to been prophesied a word and it's came true. I know that Christians, and they're probably not the only ones, they say magic and getting readings, psychic readings, are witchcraft. But in my opinion, psychic reading is really close to prophecy. Because in a prophecy, they'll tell you they see in your house, they see this, they see your future, they see your past. this, that, and the other. And that's literally the same thing a psychic do without putting the name of God on it. So I don't agree with that. Yeah, it's a lot of things. Man, I have seen some crazy stuff in church, y'all. Some really crazy things. Heard some crazy things. I actually really want to write a book on it. Because people, I don't see people much getting stories out there like this. I don't see people talking about it. Or I just haven't came across it yet. Or, you know, books on spiritual abuse and stuff. Surviving foster care and growing up in a Christian home and things like that. I don't see people coming out with stories. So, hopefully mine will make a difference. Next bullet point. It says things from the Bible not told, uncovered. I feel like I just really, really went through that. It's a lot of things in the Bible that I had never been told, you know, growing up. A lot of things I didn't know about until I became an adult. And, you know, seeing and reading the Bible for myself with my fiancé. We both grew up in church, literally the same churches. We grew up together, so, you know, we didn't see and heard a lot of the same things. And on our journey, we just been finding God for ourselves, deciding what we want to do as far as our beliefs. Like, we're going for non-denominational simply because I just don't want to be labeled anything. Because from my knowledge of what I've seen so far in the research I've done, I feel like a lot of the religions are the same. So I would like to pull from all of them instead of choosing one and throwing away the others. I also want to have a bookstore, you know, where people from all across the world can come visit. I want all religions, all versions of the Bible to be put in this store. Ancestors, history, aliens. I believe in aliens, y'all. I want all of this to be, you know, part of my bookstore. But anyways, get back on track. Honestly, these last three were kind of the same. Lies told in church, really. I kind of covered that with the talking about heaven and how you forget everything when you die to go to heaven and stuff like that. Yeah, because it's a lot. I can't really go by them hand by hand, but I will say you guys can add me on Facebook and Instagram and send questions, comments. I get shout outs. My Facebook name is Dejmua, D-E-J, the M-U-A. My Instagram is the Deisha B, the D-E-S-H-A-B. And my Snapchat is XODAJ, X-O-D-A-J-J. Next bullet point, my experience in Christian church. My experience in Christian church had its ups and downs. There's been times where I had, you know, pastors try to talk to me, armor bearers of pastors, drummers, pianoists, you know, people who really had a high calling, standing, whatever you want to call it in church. I didn't see it all with them. My experience, I feel like a lot of people in a Christian community are brainwashed, especially where I came from. They are brainwashed, you know, because growing up, I literally watched our apostle take offering for her to go out to eat, like get a steak or whatever she used to say after church. She said people bring her money to her feet like she was the fucking Messiah. So, you know, seeing a lot of that growing up made me look at stuff so different now that I'm older. Like, I can't say I don't go to church. I don't. I sit and read the Bible at home. I have a whole notebook full of studies and stuff that I do. My gospel playlist. Certain pastors I listen to on podcast and TV. I don't go to church. I don't plan to for now. Maybe in a couple years when I meet someone that I feel like, you know, I'm a level-headed. Not just feeding me bullshit, you know, like the shit I feel like I grew up with, then, you know, that may change. But for now, no, I am not in church. Secrets of the church. Secrets. Like I said, I've seen a lot of crazy things. Like, it came out in the church, Rivers of Life, that the youth pastor was having sex with one of the younger girls or whatever, and he was married. A couple marriages filled in that church, honestly, but yeah, he was married, and his wife ended up fighting the girl in the middle of church service or whatever. Can't make this up. This really happened, y'all. It's crazy. But yeah, he had basically also tried to talk to me, and I don't know who else how many of the other young girls he was trying to talk to in the church, but that's something that happened at Rivers of Life. Childhood things covered up. A lot of things were covered up in childhood, and it's sad because getting older, I've tried to, the last person I tried to confront about things that they've done or said was my aunt, Lakina Bell, my uncle, Anthony Bell's wife. Basically denied it, and she said it had never happened. Like, she got this story, and she tells everybody that I stole money from her, but which is not true. But, like, every, you know, thing I try to remind her of that she really did do or say, she would deny the fuck out of it. Like, she's a liar. Not here to degrade anybody, but yeah, she's a liar. Like, there's been times I've been laying in my bed in my room. My door was broke, so I really didn't sleep with it open all the time. I mean, closed. And, like, I would dead ass hear them in the next room in full conversation about me. Like, these are literally the people that's supposed to be my parents in conversation about me. And, of course, they come with the sorry ass apology. And, yeah. That's usually how that went. Like, they come with an apology. And I guess it was supposed to be washed away. I can't really say that's probably in all black homes, but in our home. Yeah, they made it okay to do shit that you're not supposed to do to family and say things you're not supposed to say and apologize and say, oh, it was out of anger and stuff. They always made that okay. What else have I confronted her about? That, or when I first was a little confident enough to step into an acting career and got a interview at an agency that I needed $300 to start my portfolio. She basically shot it down and told me that's not going to last forever. And, like, her children had paid for dance classes and football and stuff like that, like, because that's what they wanted to do. And literally none of that stuff lasts forever. You literally get killed with her doing that shit before acting and doing makeup and stuff. You know, shit. Or how for years I've sat at home with low self-esteem and suicidal tendencies and no one ever noticed. No one talked about it. I never got the sex talk. I didn't find out about getting IUDs, pap smears and stuff until I moved out, which I was 20 years old when I moved out. And I didn't learn about none of that until I got with my sister. My sister taught me. I didn't have a girl with a father figure. I didn't get to talk about, you know, me loving myself and not having to get the attention that I don't get at home from boys. Ever. Never got that talk. Never got to talk about AIDS and stuff like that and having kids and stuff. They just tell you not to do it. Don't do this. Don't do that. It was never, you know, a talk about that. So growing up, I had a lot of questions. I was asking people my age and younger than me, you know, sex questions and things of that nature because I didn't know. Shoot, even at the age of 20, I left her not knowing how to pay bills, make a bank account, set up healthcare and healthcare benefits and stuff for myself because I wasn't taught. Like, I was literally in the house cleaning, cooking every day. Like, I would get cussed out for not washing my auntie and my uncle clothes, and they, you know, was grown as hell. Or, you know, when I did start working full time, I worked every day of the week. Everybody else was in the house sitting on their ass, and I was helping pay bills. And out the blue, now I owe gas money too. You feel me? On top of me helping pay bills, cooking and cleaning and watching the kids. Because anybody that know me would tell, you know, would agree that you can damn near say I raised their kids. And that's just that. I took care of the house. Like, Literally. I was literally like a damn mistress in that bitch. Yeah, slaving. Nobody else cleaned up. Nobody else did shit, cooked, none of that. And when they used to request me to cook instead of my auntie, she would try to downplay it like, oh, well, now your food overseasoned and shit like that, you know. Whatever, whatever. Basically, she wasn't cooking for us and the kids, I was. Let's see, what's next? Self-esteem and self-love. For years, I suffered with self-esteem because, once again, I didn't feel accepted at home. I was getting degraded and talked about at home. My blood uncle was allowing it. And, once again, not to degrade anyone. He, you know, was the same. He was literally in the same situation. He was dominated a lot. Manhood took it. He didn't have a say-so in a lot of things. Like, he would chastise his kids, then get chastised in front of his kids for chastising them for being bad as hell. So, you know, she ran the house, and her family would say, everybody would say it. I can't really say who said it to her face yet, but I can say I've never seen nobody say it to her face. Not her, not even her own husband. Like, my uncle would come talk to us, his nieces and nephews and kids, about stuff he didn't like that she did. And, yeah, he would never say it to her. And this is, I'm still pretty sure it's to this day. She would degrade him and put him down like a motherfucker. But, you know, you married him. This is what you wanted. But, like I said, the parents I grew up with really gave me a different outlook on a lot of things. Seeing how my uncle was in our household, I honestly still love him. No love lost no love lost. I think that's how you say it. But none of them. But I knew I didn't want a man like him at all. And then with my aunt being a prophetess, she showed a lot of things that, like I said, put my trust on edge. Like, how she would deal with other pastors. Went on a movie date with another pastor. You know, she, her niece, Destiny, which used to be my best friend, basically, in front of me and Destiny one day, we were outside, I can't make this up, was talking about how she was on FaceTime with a pastor, and while he was in the shower or whatever, but it had been like a couple of incidents where she was bragging about, you know, these dudes throwing themselves at her, sending her dick pics and shit, and she went on a date with him, and Mongum ended up having to inbox one of them and stuff on her phone. Like, this, it gave me a whole different outlook on life. Next bullet point is suicide. Suicide, I was suicidal before, and once again, nobody knew. And it kind of amazed me because, like I said, growing up in a Christian home, you would think they've seen everything. They know. Or at least they act like they know you so well. And this is with the facade they hold it, like the family is so perfect to others when it's not. I was suicidal, and I actually had it all planned out. My method was to use liquor and Oxycontin because I did the research. And is it those two mixed with slow breathing down until it stopped? So, excuse me, I had to yawn. Yeah, that was my plan. That was the only time. And I believe that day God spoke to me and told me if I stayed, you know, if I didn't kill myself, life would get better. And I'm not going to say at times I felt like, you know, okay, when, like I stayed, but when, because I do, but I can't say it didn't get better. Fears, struggles have to mean spiritually abused. Fears is trusting someone. Trust. I can't really say. Yes, trust. It's nothing more than that. Trust. It's trusting people. Trust people enough to talk to them, to even listen, to be around them. You know, it's trust. A big thing is trust. Trust. Like, literally, my aunt, she literally told me that I wasn't a choice or option when they went to court to get me. So, you know, and that came from me. Basically, all my life, she bring up what my parents were doing, what she had to pay for, and what she had to do by herself. And it's like, you know, you go to court for a situation where a child's parents ain't taking care of them to begin with. What do you expect? You don't sit there and say that to the fucking child. You know, that's something you discuss with the parent. But, yeah, it's just trust. It's hard to trust that people are really for me. It's hard to trust it's just hard to trust, period. Abuse, mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual. I've suffered all. At a young age, like, literally my sister made my uncle whoop me because, or for calling him Tony. And, you know, she has a son that my uncle has been in his life since he was literally. He's been calling my uncle by his government name since I can remember. Also used to fight him, like fist fight him, shit like that, like downright disrespectful, and has never been allowed to beat her son ass. On top of his own birth kids doing the same thing, and her nieces and nephews doing the same thing from her family. But for some reason, she literally used to make him beat the shit out of me for calling him Tony, and he would do it. I feel like a lot of times when he's with me, it was him taking his anger out from whatever he was dealing with her. And, yeah, he used to do that shit. He sure did. Father and mother figure. I would say I have neither. The only father, I don't have a father figure at all. No father figure, no birth father figure, spiritual or adoptive. Mother figure, only mother figure I have is my dad's ex-wife, Tina. She's the only person that ever treated me, you know, for real, like, with love. Like, she really cared and really cared about my, me, period. Like, how I looked, how I felt. Bullet point. It's manipulation, being naive. Yeah, like I told y'all closer to the beginning, I feel like Monty preyed on naive people, preyed on their money. I am going to try to get other people to write letters for me to read, you know, anonymously. If they want anonymously, or I put their name on it, give me letters to read. So I can have some of the witnesses that has actually sent and told me their stories about how they came into her life, and she basically was giving them a run for their money and things of that nature. I had a friend tell me that she basically was using her bridge card. Mind you, Monty already had a bridge card that she was getting because she had kids. You know, she was getting money. Would buy a whole bunch of shit, leave 20 on there, and then take and put all the food up, and would make her eat small ass portions of total what she can't have out of the food that she helped buy. Or my cousin was in a girl's home, and my auntie was acting like, oh, I got you, I'll help you with all your prom stuff, I'm gonna help you with this or with that. And hit her with, okay, now I need some gas money. She asked for 30, ended up taking 60 from my cousin and saying my cousin owed her. Everybody was telling me growing up as a foster child, you know, your parents get paid, they get money for you, this, that, and the other. I've never seen none of it. On top of the fact that when I started working, I was helping her, when I started working in 9-to-5, because I always had my own side hustle. And I didn't have a bank account. She took advantage of that by taking me to her bank account to cash my check. Giving me some money, getting money for the bills, and when I came back for the rest of my money, she started adding up shit that I owe her for so she can keep it. And then was telling everybody I left her house because I didn't want to help pay bills, I didn't want to help this, help do this, that, and the other. But my thing was, and there are a lot of people around me, you know, can testify to, like, they were literally slaving me. I was literally in there cooking, fucking cleaning, washing everybody's clothes. Everybody in this house is grown as fuck. Why am I getting chastised for not washing 40-year-olds' clothes, you know? That's not some shit that should have been happening. But a lot of shit I didn't know wasn't right until leaving there and telling other people about these things. And they get to looking at me like, you did what? What the fuck? They did that? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, bro, that's not okay. So, childhood trauma, how it affects adult life. Childhood trauma, does, in my personal opinion, affect memory. Trauma causes dark spots, black spots, memory loss. Upon other issues, but mine has been trust, and a lot of memory loss. Next point says mental illness. I don't suffer from any mental illness, but I know people who does. Next point is anger. Am I still angry? I can't say I don't some days get back angry about a lot of the stuff I dealt with or me being nice to people who have done nothing but made my life a living fucking hell, you know, I get angry about that. But it's not something to stay angry about forever, because you won't grow like that. You won't get anywhere walking around mad. Me personally, I got tired of being angry, waking up angry every day, going to sleep angry. Like, it don't feel good. I don't see how people do it. Jealousy. Jealousy is the next point. And really, with this story or this topic, I can't really say jealousy takes part in. I've never been a jealous person. I've always been the type to share. And see, I can, not to sound cocky, because I'm not a cocky person either. I'm very motivated to everyone around me. I never felt like I was better, but, you know, I've never been put in a position where I needed to feel jealous of someone, because everybody likes me. Everybody wants to dress like me, have their hair like me, look like me. Liars in the church. I don't know how this one got at the bottom. I probably just mixed them. There's liars in the church. There is lots of them. The family I came from played a part in it too. People lie, and that's just that. That's the bottom line. People lie. You can't put nothing past nobody. And that's another outlook they gave me after going through everything I went through growing up. You know, you can't put shit past nobody. You can't really say who's not a liar, who's telling the truth. Because the same person you think would never lie to you will be the one person that lied to you the most. Last point is molestation. I talked about that a little earlier in my points. Molestation, growing up being touched. I was touched by a cousin at a young age. I don't remember what age. I do remember the cousin. And from my knowledge, all those years I had grew up not saying nothing because I felt nobody would believe me. Only to find out last year, I was at my mom's house one day and I brought it up. And she basically told me, yeah, I know, you had already told me, and that he seen somebody else do it. So, yeah. I was destroyed, because that's basically my mom's outlook on me telling her I was touched at a young age. And it makes you sick to your stomach. It makes me sick to my stomach, personally, to hear and think about, you know, that, and to know that's her response. Like, I'm never going to forget that. But, you know, I can't dwell on it. I can't dwell on it. I gotta let it go. Shit happens. But that's it for my podcast today, Chat with Dage. Once again, my Instagram is the Daisha B, the DESHAB. My Facebook is Dage the MUA, makeup artist, DEJ the MUA. And my Snapchat is XODAJJ.